to send it on down the line. Hello, West Virginia coal miner, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poehler Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday. Friday, it's finally Friday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. All you do is text me and I'll respond. I try not to belabor the responses, but sometimes I get a little long-winded and it's just my inexperience as a radio host. Still to come on the program, my friend Hunter Johnson from Tide 100.9 in Tuscaloosa, and we'll talk hoops as we head into the SEC tournament to be played this weekend. Speaking of the SEC tournament, he was very kind to move up a little bit. We'll be preempted about an hour from now for Auburn basketball, but our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing fine. Got to get the priority straight, and I think y'all got yours straight.
Yeah, this politics stuff, it needs to be secondary sometimes. But, how's your week off been?
Busy, as you might imagine. I mean, it's one of those things. You're away from your business, and you're away from your family, and you're away from your constituents. They are all anxious to see you and talk to you and add their two cents about what's going on in person. And so it has certainly been a busy week.
Yeah, and I mean the chattering class doesn't rest on these off weeks. I'll say that. Let's kick it off with this, and this is a story from Land Yap yesterday. You mentioned it, then your House counterpart down that way, Francis Holt Jones, the bill to give the two systems down at the beaches, Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, their share of tax revenue. Walk us through that. What do you think that's, is that like something that could really happen?
It needs to happen. I mean, this was a bill that was originally, a piece of legislation that was originally passed in the early 80s that levied a 1 cent sales tax countywide, a portion of which, the portion we're talking of which, goes to public education. And what we've done in Baldwin County is add to two different school systems in Baldwin County. The legislation from the early 80s contemplated only one school system, the Baldwin County Board of Education, because back in 83, that's all there was. And we simply need to update that to really reflect that there's now more than one school system in Baldwin County, and not just the Baldwin County Board of Education. And so I think that's a very simple change to make, and one that is unquestionably the right thing to do. I mean, can you imagine the counter to that, which was you levy a tax countywide and you only give it to Orange Beach, or you only give it to Gulf Shores, and you don't give any to the rest of the schools in Baldwin County? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And so we need to do just like what we do so often in Montgomery, which is just update the statute to reflect what currently exists.
Is the Baldwin County public school system, they're not the superintendent quoted in the story, they're not very keen on this, as one might expect. But I mean, do you expect that to be a problem?
Well, of course, and I'm very disappointed, I think is a nice way to say that, in the stance they've taken. I mean, it is fundamentally unfair to take tax money for education for the children out of these districts and not allow them to use it for educating children just because you're mad that they left your system. I mean, that's it's small ball. And unfortunately, I think it's going to have big impacts for the school system as a whole. I mean, you're aware, I'm sure, as are others, that there are at least three other cities in Baldwin County that are seeing what's happening in Gulf Shores, seeing what's happening in Orange Beach as it relates to investment in education, athletic facilities, in new schools, and certainly in, in performance, right, results. And they're interested in their own school system, their city school system. And so I think you'll see that those conversations are already happening certainly in Fairhope and in Daphne and in Foley, to see if they will do that. So at some point, whether I have the votes now or not, the votes will be there because those representatives will end up doing what I do, which is representing some city schools and some county schools, both of which we want to treat fairly. And the kids we want to treat fairly and make sure that they have their share of the tax revenue. It's just absurd to have one system think they should get it all.
Well, it's you know, the discussion, I guess, you just mentioned it, but sort of the Baldwin County school system splintering up, and it's remarkable that it's lasted as it is, as long as it has, just with the growth of the county, that you haven't seen more municipalities strike out and form their own school systems. And I kind of wonder, like, do you think that's something, like, how far away do you think we are from something like that?
I don't think we're far away from that at all. And listen, the Baldwin County Public School System has done a great job in Baldwin County, educating kids and really being a pretty good example of what a county school system can do. I mean, if you go back and rewind here about 10 years or so, they were in big trouble. They were in big trouble with the voters. They were in big trouble with revenue sources, et cetera. And they, in partnership with the county commission, which I served on at the time, really laid out a plan for the future, how they were going to innovate, how they were going to be fiscally responsible, and how they were going to continue to address the needs of a growing Baldwin County. And they've done that well. There have been cities, though, that have, as is their right, decided, no, we want to do this differently. We want to chart our own course, whether that's academically or because they want to put more money in their particular system. And so the county, I think, really laid this plan out, the county school system itself, when it came up with these tax overlay districts, right? And you saw referendums in each one of these areas that said, we want a 3-mill tax overlay district in Spanish Fork, in Fairhope, in Daphne, in Robertsdale. We want to do that so that our schools have more resources. And what they found was people seem to be much more willing to invest their resources in their particular school system and not some big countywide school system. They want to know it's going to their school. And so that's what you've seen in these city schools, is people being much more willing to invest in their school system as opposed to a larger bureaucracy of a countywide school system. And so, yes, I think you'll see continued efforts at city schools around the county.
Yeah, because they've held that at bay, like I said, a lot longer than I would have anticipated. And with the feeder systems and the taxation there, how long till somebody says, hey, well, what are we doing here? You know, like, why aren't we just going at it on our own as the beaches have? It's kind of fascinating that we haven't gotten to that point.
Well, I think you're going to get to that point, and it is important to note that's not something that the legislature has any involvement in, right? That is something that is a decision that's made at the city level, either by the city council in concert with the mayor or through a referendum, however they decide to handle that. I just think it's important that whatever the future is, we don't have countywide tax revenue going to just a few schools, and instead it needs to be split up to the children in Baldwin County, as was originally intended.
Well, and it's we talk about wealth redistribution. I got to think those beach municipalities, they raise a lot of sales tax, and they're having to send it out of their system. I mean, and that is, it's not just unfair. I mean, it's robbery.
Well, and that's what bothered me about Superintendent Tyler's comment in particular, was that we were taking from the needy children, or the children that need it most. And this is not needs based. I mean, it is not a Robin Hood approach, guys. I don't know how he can justify that and say, well, we need it more, therefore we will take it from you. That's ideologically opposed to where I am. I think if you're levying that in your municipality, it's levied in your municipality for the purposes of education, then you ought to be able to keep it for the purposes of educating our kids, and not simply because somebody else needs it more. Otherwise, we'd be sending it to Sumter County by that logic.
Yeah, it's just a very hollow argument, and it's not an argument, Senator, that that doesn't sound very Baldwin County in the tradition of the politics here, that you could really get away with. It just seems insane to me, but anyway.
But that might be why you're seeing some of these city schools wanting to split off.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, how you don't think we're that far away, but is there a way to quantify that?
Yeah, I think you'll see activity on this within a year in Fairhope. And I think that you probably will be talking about that in less, you know, less time than that. Let's see, you know, maybe 2 years or so in Daphne. And then you have to really look at this from a, you know, countywide scale. Okay, well, then what are the kids, where do the kids in Barnwell go to school? Okay, if they're outside the city, where do the kids in Point Clear go to school if they're outside of the city? And so what cities are seeing this as is an opportunity for annexation, right? Then they have a thing that people want, and then they're more interested in annexing in. And so it's a 3D chess type of situation, but at the end of the day, you know, the argument I'm making is simple, and that is the taxes raised for the kids. That means all the kids in Baldwin County, not just some, regardless of how Superintendent Tyler, you know, feels they need it.
Well, what about some of these schools that are like charter schools and, you know, that are, I mean, obviously would remain under county control, but they've been like geographically placed in places that would probably, they would have to move them, one would think.
Well, most of the charter school funding operates, you know, exclusively of local funding. And so this local funding could and would, if we change this, talk about, you know, public school systems in a municipality, et cetera. And so we don't have any charter schools in Baldwin County in particular, and this is a local piece of legislation. And so I think we'll skirt that particular issue.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Well, I can imagine this will be a fight with this taking these sales taxes, but it's they don't really have a cogent argument. So I don't know. I'm eager to hear from the other side on this one. Back to matters statewide. When you get back next week, we talked to Todd Stacey a little bit about this earlier. Ought to be a relatively subdued week next week for you guys, and then you get another week off, and then I think that's when you really start cracking your knuckles, and that's when you're going to start to see the gray hair start to show, the bags under the eyes. Like, that's, you start to see a little bit of that last week, but you know, two, 3 weeks from now, it'll get a little more contentious, I assume.
Well, I think you're right. And there is some merit in, you know, making sure that the machinery of the legislature, you know, it works and is oiled and the gears are turning out the things that we need to turn out, right? The sunset bills that need to pass in order for, you know, these entities to continue to exist, right? If you simply don't take up the sunset bill, then the entity stops existing altogether. Now, some of them I might be okay with that on, but it's a great way to shrink government. But all in all, you need to deal with those bills one way or the other. And then, of course, we have confirmations. You know, the governor's put forward confirmations for all of these different entities to serve on boards, you know, whether it's the board of trustees at the, you know, at a university down to the, you know, massage therapy board and everybody in between. And so we need to work through those and get some of those out of the way. We're going to get started on the budgets here. I know the budget chairman have been working on that over the break. And so we'll be working on that. And then I think you are, you know, you're correct. Once we move through all of those things this week in the interim, then it's going to be time to get back to tackling tough issues that we have not gotten to yet. And so whether that's dealing with PBM, whether that's dealing with the conversation between Alpha and Blue Cross. And then, of course, you know, Senator Gudger, I think, has wisely, you know, charted a path, you know, here to how to deal with things and when to deal with things. I think there's an opportunity to deal with some things that maybe our colleagues, you know, on the other side of the aisle previously have expressed displeasure with.
Oh, well, we won't. In case anybody out there is listening in the Montgomery intelligentsia that likes to go tattletale, we won't get into that too much. But the PBM issue, it looks like that's got real wind in its sails. And I know that there's like some very powerful lobbies that are pushing back. But if you look around the chambers, I don't know that that's really working for them.
No, I mean, look, at the end of the day, we are certainly elected to deal with the issues that are important to our constituents, right? And sometimes they're broad and sometimes they're narrow. And this is a fairly narrow one. It's impactful across a broad group of people, but it's fairly narrow. And so I think what, again, many that have been negotiating this, I think, you know, the president pro tem is handling this well, is trying to find a sweet spot where we can provide some relief for these pharmacists who are currently having to pay more to purchase the prescription themselves than they are able to sell it for or being reimbursed for. Is just an untenable business situation. And so what they're trying to do is figure out a way to fix that situation, but without completely upending, health insurance costs and prescription drug costs. And so I think it's a very scalpel approach. Obviously, the big PBM folks and the bigger entities in the state would like for things to stay just as they are. And it's much harder to get something done in Montgomery than it is to stop something from getting done. And they may ultimately be successful. But I think the path that our leadership in the Senate is charting for us is to try to find something that will find that sweet spot, address the pharmacists, the independent pharmacists' concerns, those community pharmacists' concerns, and then, but not in a way that causes everybody's health insurance to increase.
Last one, speaking of health insurance, the Alpha Blue Cross Blue Shield saga. They've been running ads, the opponents of the Alpha health plan on the station. I don't know. It's hard for me to like find fault other than that. I guess he's out the insurance plan or whatever you call them, health plans, get to operate on a different set of rules than everybody else.
That's correct. And that's the big rub, right? I mean, I'm a free market guy and I think you ought to be able to sell what somebody will buy, and if it's health insurance, that's fine. Is it important to realize that what is being discussed at being sold by Alpha is different from what's being sold by Blue Cross Blue Shield? Yes, it's different. Do I think that some of my constituents, if we approve this, are going to have a rude awakening one day when they find out they do not have the type of coverage that they thought they had when they purchased a cheaper product? Yes. But at the end of the day, I think it is right to allow to get government out of the way so that you can make informed decisions on your own. And if they are poor decisions, then they are your poor decisions.
Right.
So I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, that's the market.
We're running long here, but I want to get this in. There is a real deficiency there. We want to keep a vibrant ag community in Alabama, but if Jeff Poor or Chris Elliott go out and stake out to be farmers, what do we do for health insurance coverage? And it's cost prohibitive. There's got to be an option on the table, and I don't know what that is.
Well, look, I've done it before. I buy a cheaper used truck that's not as safe and doesn't get as good a mileage. And I do that because that's what I can afford. And I look at this the same way.
Senator, we always appreciate having you on. We'll catch up again next week. Thanks for hopping on.
Thanks, Jeff. Y'all have a great weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
First thing I remember.